How do you go about reinventing America's healthcare system? Why not one community at a time? Michael Felix is a community health development specialist from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he's our guest on this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Welcome to the program, Michael, and welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you have written and spoken about a process called community health development. Give us a brief overview, if you would, of community health development and how it applies to reinventing our healthcare system.
Community health development, simply stated, is a process which a community identifies factors that influence the population's health status, and then assesses the available resources to build the capacity to plan and take action to address whatever needs you've identified in that process. And it works at both the resource level and it works at the grassroots level of a community simultaneously. And it really seeks to provide facts and information. It seeks to look at policies and practices. It seeks to look at resources, and in a particularly in a collaborative way, it looks to build local social capital, which would be the capacity for a community to address health problems. It would be the people to improve the training and education of people in a community around health-related issues, to look at helping support institutions and organizations around being engaged in problem-solving or health collaborative opportunities.
So this sounds like a very elaborate, extensive, maybe complicated process.
It sounds that way, doesn't it? Because I just made it sound that way. But it, you know, in essence, it's really simple. It's around people working together to solve problems. And what you're doing is you're identifying in that environment what are the needs and interests of a population of people. What are the health-related issues? What kind of resources do we have locally in order to address those issues? And what might we try here differently, or what might we import from someplace else based on what people have learned in those other community environments and put in play here that would improve our population's health? So when we wrote this article in 2010, it was right before, I think we wrote it in the end of 2008, beginning in 2009. We were promoting the idea that the federal government has a history, as well as so does philanthropy, have a history in supporting community-based partnerships and health programs. And so we were building on our experience both here and in Canada of bringing folks together in a community that represent all walks of life and helping them to identify or go through a process of identifying health-related issues and then determining what kind of strategies you could put in place. And so based on that set of experiences, we really believed that this experience could translate all across the United States. And we've had experiences in about 100 different communities up to that point and around a lot of different health-related ideas. One of the things that we've noticed in our work is that there's a limited number of people that know how to do this, that know how to work within the health system, that know how to work within the political environment, that understand the population health issues of a community, and then to be able to organize and facilitate people in a way that produces health strategy. So part of the other recommendation that we came up with was to generate a national training and education strategy around helping more people understand how this process can work.
With the local focus, does that avoid somewhat the aspect of one size fits all, that there will be some people listening to this thinking, well, you know, he's just talking about another government solution.
Right.
With the focus being on local, does that obviate that a little bit in terms of it not being a one-size-fits-all proposition?
Yes. Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is yes. There is no cookie cutter for this idea. It really is based on what's good for that local population. What's changed since we've written this article is there's a couple interesting phenomena that are going on right now. One is the advent of health information technology and the electronic health record and the proposed building of health exchange and data warehouses, and how that's translated into, for example, an individual primary care practice where the focus is on patient-centered care. That is creating a great deal of change in the health environment. The second thing that also has facilitating change is the financial changes that are happening, both in Medicare and Medicaid, where in Medicare, the federal government is going towards moving towards away from fee-for-service towards bundling the payments around the patient-centered medical home. And Medicaid in the state of Missouri is also moving more towards what they call a per-member, per-month payment for folks in the Medicaid program, in building a care coordination model. These two phenomena are generating more partnerships between health systems and primary care physicians and hospitals and public health departments. So this idea of creating local partnerships is probably more important now than it ever has been in the past prior to the passing of the ACA legislation.
You mentioned that you've been working with some 100 communities about this. Have you been able to identify some common denominators of what a successful effort is?
Yeah, first of all, is leadership. If you don't have champions for the idea, it probably isn't going to work. The other one is that you have to recognize that we're based on a society of self-interest, and the challenge really is to help people and organizations and institutions as well see that you can apply a lot of different self-interest around a health-related idea as long as everybody's willing to work for the greater good. So having that in a community is really an important aspect, too, that people recognize that competing self-interests can work together for the greater good. I think a third thing, too, is oftentimes we overlook the fact that there are plenty of examples in communities where this idea has already been applied in economic development, in the faith community. Partnerships have developed in housing, in schools. And communities have used this approach to solve other kinds of complicated issues in their history. So it's important to look to that history sometimes in a community to remind people that this is an idea that we've used before.
And so there's a track record to it.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. So that's another kind of element that you look for, or is a positive thing to show that this can work.
And we're talking about local efforts here, but in your paper you mentioned things about where the federal government should be involved with things like local experimentation through waivers, et cetera. What seems to be the right mix of a federal involvement with it and a local involvement? Is there a magic percentage that would help guarantee success?
I approach this from a different perspective. My perspective is every entity is a resource. And so I look at both state government and federal government having regulatory and resource responsibilities. So developing a local idea, I want to know how this local idea impacts, you know, on a broader scale, both at a state level and a national level. And I want to know how those two entities can support the work locally. So I'm inclined to have people really look at that question and understanding what are the possible opportunities around their involvement, and so structure the involvement based on local needs and interest.
So again, not a one-size-fits-all
approach. No, not at all.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the importance of local leadership, and what brings you here to Kansas City today is an endeavor called Relieving Pain Kansas City, based on a local approach to implementing the Institute of Medicine report on pain from June 2011. What have you seen so far that fits in to the model that you've been supporting?
The model here, the possibilities here locally?
Yes, exactly.
Well, first of all, there's a history of people working together. That's the most important thing. And Kansas City has a rich history of public-private partnerships and folks working together to solve all kinds of complicated issues. That's one of the things I know for sure. There's a great deal of leadership that's in the environment. The leadership of this organization is another example the history that you all have here in terms of facilitating and convening people around different health-related ideas. So there's a tremendous amount of elements. I think the other thing that's really exciting about this idea is that it fits into with what's happening in the healthcare system itself, both financing and service delivery. And that is that as more health systems begin integrating across what they call a full continuum of care, and they're beginning to integrate things like behavioral health with primary care, and they're looking at the implications of income and education and those impacts on health status, and looking at how the environment impacts on people's health. So we're beginning to accept that health isn't just the mere presence or absence of disease, but there are broader social determinants of health, as I mentioned, income, education, housing, the environment, transportation, demographics, that are an important part of measuring health. And so more of these systems are beginning to look at that. And when you do that, you have to also look at the role that people in pain have in that, and how chronic pain is an important part of people's lives. And what I'm learning is that there seems to be a lot of myths about that are held by individuals about chronic pain, that are held by providers about chronic pain, and that are held by communities about chronic pain. And so it seems that this is a great opportunity to mobilize people in the environment to not only undo those myths, but to really relearn and look at new associations and relationships that may impact on that particular idea.
We're recording this in March 2012, March 1st to be exact. You sound optimistic. Is there reason for optimism in a future on this?
Yeah, I believe so. I really am optimistic. I'm optimistic because having built public-private partnerships for almost 40 years now, it used to be a thing that we tried to talk people into. And now it's a thing, it's an idea that people really strive to do automatically, is to come together and figure things out. So in that regard, I'm very optimistic. I think the other thing that I feel good about is that health is changing in the country. Health is changing. And there'll be a point when we will all have a better understanding about our individual roles in health. And I think that's the next wave that's coming now through patient-centered health homes and care coordination and our electronic health records or patient or personal health records, is this more understanding about what our individual responsibility in health are too. And that's going to help to drive changes in the health system.
Michael Felix is a community health development specialist from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.